Let us commence our service this evening by singing together hymn number 1131. The tune is Haringey 872. We have thy promise, gracious Lord, thou wilt be where thy people meet. O then fulfil thy gracious word, and make our happiness complete. Hymn 1131.
Thank you.
Let us read together from the Holy Word of God in the Gospel according to Luke and chapter 6. The sixth chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. And it came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first that he went through the cornfields, and his disciples plucked the ears of corn and did eat, rubbing them in their hands. And certain of the Pharisees said unto them, Why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days? And Jesus answering them said, Have ye not read so much as this, what David did when himself was an hungered, and they which were with him, how he went into the house of God, and did take and eat of the showbread, and gave also to them that were with him, which is it is not lawful to eat, but for the priests alone. And he said unto them, that the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and said to the man which had the withered hand, Rise up, and stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, Stretch forth thy hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And they were filled with madness, and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles: Simon, whom he named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, and Jesus the brother of James, and Judas the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. And he came down with them, and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you, and all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest, for he is kind unto the thankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And he spake a parable unto them, can the blind leave the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, and perceivest not the beam that is in thine own? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou clearly see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me, and heareth my sayings, and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house, and digged deep, and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the floods arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. May the Lord bless the reading of his own precious word, and grant unto us a spirit of real prayer. Almighty, most merciful and eternal God, we do desire to bow before thy great and glorious majesty. Thou art in heaven, and we upon earth, and thy word declares, therefore let thy words be few, for in the multitude of words there wanteth not iniquity. And we're very conscious, O Lord, that everything we touch or say or think or do is stained and dyed with sin. O Lord, sin lives in us, but may not we live in sin. And that we pray to be delivered from the power of sin, from the dominion of sin, from the power of Satan, from the dominion of Satan. And that thou wouldst come and rule and reign in our hearts by thy grace. We do humbly beseech of thee. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ rest and abide upon us this evening hour. May the love of our Heavenly Father be sweetly experienced in our souls, that we might know the truth of that word, for the Father himself loveth you. And may the sweet communion of the Holy Ghost rest and abide in the pulpit and in the pew, that we may feel the sweet unction of thy love, of thy grace, of thy mercy in Jesus Christ. For Lord, that is what we stand in need of, thy mercy. Oh, we do pray that thou wouldst grant that we may feel that mercy, that love of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the power of his grace, even tonight as we gather around the word of God. Lord, we're very much conscious of that deep well of iniquity that is within us. Defiled I am indeed, defiled throughout by sin. Oh, most gracious Lord, how true that witness is. And we come then to confess our sins, our wanderings, our weakness, our helplessness, our insufficiency, our carnality. Oh, most gracious Lord, come and visit us with thy love and with thy mercy, that we may be favoured even at this evening hour, unworthy as we are, with a visit from our beloved. Oh, do come and speak, do come and reveal thyself. And as the dear apostle says, Christ in you, the hope of glory, and that we might be rooted and grounded in love and know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge in its length and height and breadth and depth. Lord, may we know that love, and may we love thee, and as it is expressed in the word, we love him because he first loved us. Oh, most gracious Lord, let that everlasting love that we read of in thy word, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Oh, to be drawn into the truth as it is in Jesus. Oh, to be delivered from the power and the curse of the law of God, and to be brought into the sweet liberty of the children of God, and to know and to experience there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Oh, most gracious Lord, incline thine ear, we do humbly beseech of thee. We pray thy blessing upon us as a church and as a congregation. Bless our beloved brethren, the deacons. Help us each to pray for each other, to bear each other's burdens, and thereby fulfilling the law of Christ. Each one of our brethren and sisters in Christ, oh, bless them indeed, wherever they are. Bless them with that rich grace that is in Christ Jesus. Bless them with light and understanding in thy word. Bless them with the divine leading and power of the Holy Ghost. We do humbly beseech thee. And bless us each with that rich gift of love, that we may love each other, serve each other, bear each other's burdens. But we pray, dear Lord, thy blessing upon the little ones and the children. We love to see them in the house of God, and we seek thy blessing to rest upon them in their young and in their tender years. We seek thy blessing upon the dear young friends, and as they stand, as it were, upon the threshold of life's journey, that thou wouldst be gracious unto them and bless them. Show them thy ways and teach them thy paths for thy great name's sake. Bring them to living, vital, saving faith in Jesus Christ. Supply all their needs in their education, regarding any employment, and a partner in life's journey. Lord, we lovingly commend them to thee. Pray for parents, that thou wouldst give wisdom and help, that they may bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and that we may not put those things in front of our children that will stumble them. Lord, preserve us from wandering. Preserve us from bypath meadow, from leaving that good and that right way, but may we keep our eyes right on and turn not to the right hand or to the left, but keep our eyes on Jesus fixed. We pray, dear Lord, to be delivered from Satan's temptation, from his power, from his dominion, whether as an angel of light to deceive us or whether as a roaring lion to devour us. Preserve, keep and deliver us from his power. O Lord, we do beseech you. Thou hast promised in thy word that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Remember those in old age, its attendant weaknesses, infirmities. Help them, support them, strengthen them for thy great name's sake. Lord, do in thy great mercy, remember this village and have mercy upon this village. Gather in precious souls. Cause the prodigals to return. Who knows, Lord, they lay with a weight upon our heart, upon our spirit, and we long to see the return of prodigals. How we would rejoice, O Lord. Even as thou hast said, there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Oh, that we might know that joy here. O Lord, we do beseech thee. May the appointed time roll on apace, not to propose, but call by grace, to turn their feet to Zion's hill. Lord, hear us. We humbly beseech thee. Bring our sons from far and our daughters from the ends of the earth. Lord, remember those in the evening time of life's journey and put the arms of thine everlasting love around them. Remember, Lord, at the churches and thy servants, and we thank thee to hear even this day of another young man sent forth into the gospel ministry. And we lovingly commend him to thee and to the word of thy grace, and that thou wouldst gird him with all sufficient grace and give him a door of utterance and that determination to know nothing among men save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Lord, remember the churches for good. Return to Jerusalem with mercies. Grant almighty signs and wonders to follow the preaching of the word. Thou hast exhorted us, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. For Lord, we are coming to a king. Therefore, large petitions would we bring, both for us here and the churches of God up and down the nation. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, the Son of Man, whom thou madest strong for thyself. We thank thee for our little house of prayer. We thank thee for the word of God. We thank thee for every mercy of thy kind providence, which is new every morning. And we thank thee for the profound and wonderful glory of the eternal word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. We thank thee for his holy life and witness here upon earth, his sinless perfection, his everlasting righteousness, his fulfilling and honouring the law for his people. We thank thee for his holy sacrifice, our great sin bearer, our surety. to redeem us, to deliver us, who loved not his life unto death, but died for our sins and rose again for our justification. We thank thee that he has then ascended bodily into heaven, and we have a great high priest. We have an advocate with the Father. Great God, hear us, we beseech thee. Be with us now as we turn to the word of God. Come and touch one's lips with a live coal from off the heavenly altar. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Let us now sing together hymn number 283. The tune is Syria 520. I'll read the first verse and we'll commence singing at verse 2. 'Tis a point I long to know, oft it causes anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? Hymn 283, commence singing at the second verse. greatly feeling to need the Lord's gracious help. I direct your attention to the 6th chapter in the Gospel according to Luke, and we will read the verse 46 for our text. Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? These are the words of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. What a solemn question he puts to us here. He says in the Gospel according to John, by their fruits ye shall know them. The way that we live, the way that we behave ourselves, and in among us as brethren, in the world, this is what establishes whether we truly have a good hope through grace in Jesus Christ. Because, my beloved friends, we can be a church member, we can outwardly appear to be a child of God and received as among men as a child of God, and not have any grace. And not have any grace at all. We just appear to have grace. It's a very searching thought of our Lord Jesus Christ here, isn't it? We have, of course, in the Matthew chapter 25, the parable of the 10 virgins. Very, very similar things are spoken unto them. The same as what there is here. In a different context, of course. There's no doubt that Matthew chapter 25 is a picture given to us by Christ in a parable of the professing church of Jesus Christ. And he says similar things here. Many shall say unto me, Lord, Lord. He said, why do you say, Lord, Lord, but you do not do the things that the Lord has revealed to you and that is written in his word? See, when he speaks here of these 10 virgins, he says the kingdom of heaven. So the children of God be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. But then it's the Lord Jesus alone that can distinguish between those virgins. They all look exactly the same outwardly. They'd all, at the taking of a lamp, it speaks of a profession of the name of Jesus Christ. They took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. To meet Christ. Christ is the bridegroom. But then he says five of them were wise and five were foolish. And the same in this parable which we have here in Luke chapter 6. You see, the man that built his house upon a rock and the man that built his house upon the sand. I was just looking up yesterday and concerning this service, and I read a piece of one, a godly old man from 200 years ago, and he spoke of Bengal, which is at that time was part of India, and in Bengal, at the Great Bay of Bengal, the floods come out of the Himalayas and they all come down the mountains, in the summer, it's all wide open, big river with sandy beaches all down the side of it. And he says that the local fishermen build their houses on the sand. And when the monsoon rains come down in the Himalayan mountains, and then everything is swept before it, and their houses are swept away, everything is swept away by the rushing torrent of water that can suddenly come onto those places. And in the parable that we have here before us, that is exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying about building our house upon a good foundation. See, these wise and these foolish, the man that built his house upon the rock was a wise man. The man that built his house upon the sand was a foolish man. He did not have a good foundation. And when the floods came, it was all swept away. Everything was carried before him. But the man that built his house upon a rock, it remained, it stood. Now the Lord Jesus, speaking in this parabolic way, he is setting before us the spiritual truth of what we are building on. And with these 10 virgins in Matthew 25, it's the same truth, except it's dealing entirely with the professing church of Jesus Christ. That is the difference in these parables. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. So their lamps were empty. And what does it say? The profession of their religion was empty. Oil in the lamp represents grace, as it does many times in Holy Scripture. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The grace and power of the Holy Ghost. And these foolish virgins had no oil in their lamps. They knew not the spirit of life and power in their hearts. They knew not the power of the resurrection of Christ in their souls. They made an open profession of the name of Christ, and they just had an intellectual knowledge and understanding of him. Now, my beloved friends, where do you and I stand? Do we know the truth in its living power in our hearts? They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. They had the true grace of God. The apostle, he says in one of his epistles, this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. But the great thing is, do we have that oil of grace? Has our soul been truly quickened into life? Have we been brought to a solemn sense of our own sinfulness and wretchedness? And have we been brought to see, if ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way. That is the language of a living soul. It's Jesus only. Lord, you know, the true spirit-taught soul, they know from their own experience. They're a sinner. They know it. They feel it. They experience it day by day. It grieves them. It really grieves them because of the sinful corruption of their heart and of their nature. But that is wrought by grace. To know yourself a poor, wretched, helpless, hopeless sinner. And to trust entirely, if ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way. I've got nothing in myself. Everything, my beloved friends, is in Christ. One hymn writer, he says, no help in self I find, yet oft have sought it well. The native treasure of my mind is sin and death and hell. Is that where you are? Longing to be delivered. Longing to be drawn to Christ. Longing for the love of Christ to be shed abroad in your heart. Did you find an echo in your heart in our hymn that we've just sung together? 'Tis a point I long to know, oft it causes anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? This conflict that goes on in the heart of the true believer. And this felt sin. The dear apostle, he speaks of it in the 7th chapter of the Epistle to the Romans. And he says there, I find a law within my members, that when I would do good, then evil is present with me. That which I would, I do not. And that which I would, I do not. Do you find that conflict? Oh, wretched man. Do you have to say that? You know, friends, some people would say this is completely negative. In one sense it is, but in another sense it's very positive. Because I do not believe false professors of the name of Christ have the same conflict and battle that goes on within their heart. They do not know this warfare. Behold the Shulamite, in whom there is, as it were, a company of two armies, the one against the other. As the apostle says in Galatians, the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And sometimes you'll wonder wherever the scene is going to end. You feel that you'll be overwhelmed with sin, with iniquity, with temptation. You see, but these two types of people, five wise, five foolish. Remember, Christ sees all things, and it seems to me, you see, he says half of those that profess the name of Christ at that time didn't really know him, didn't know the living power. Perhaps they were brought up under the sound of the truth and made a profession of the name of the Lord because they lived a good life and they knew that it was the right thing to do, and so they just followed on, and as their parents had done before them, and they were encouraged to do so, and yet know nothing of the living power of the truth in the heart. What a deeply solemn thing. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Not just the foolish, the wise as well. They all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made. You know, we emphasise it, and we emphasised it on Tuesday night. Behold, he cometh as a thief in the night. Time and time and time and time again, we are warned in Holy Scripture. Behold, I come as a thief in the night. When he comes, he'll come suddenly. And that is the picture that we have here in this parable. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept, and at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, that is, they made everything so it would work well, trimming the wick. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. There was no light. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. They were not ready. Be ye also ready, for at such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Be ye also ready. You see, my beloved friends, then we have this solemn word. And they that were ready went in. What a wonderful thing to be made ready. I remember speaking to my father not too long before he died. And he quoted that hymn to me concerning heaven and glory. He felt himself to be such a poor, needy sinner. And he quoted that hymn, "I'd creep beside him as a worm and see him bleed for me." That's real religion, friends. That's real religion. Oh, that we might have that real religion. They that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And this is deeply solemn. And the door was shut. It's something that is wonderful and precious to those that had oil in their lamps, those that were prepared and ready to go. And they entered in and the door was shut. It's like Noah and his family. They entered into the ark and it says, and the Lord shut him in. The Lord shut that great door of the ark. The Lord shut it. And here, it's the same thing. You see, and all that were outside that ark perished. It was only Noah and his family that were saved from that great flood that came upon the earth. He was ready for that great flood. The Lord had warned him, and he warned, and he warned, and he warned his fellow citizens, preaching righteousness. They laughed at him. Oh, what a deeply solemn thing. Afterward came also the other virgins saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." They were desperate. "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily, I say unto you, I know you not." You see, in many religious circles, Christian circles, we often hear, "Do you know the Lord? Do you know the Lord?" And there's great pressure put on, "Do you know the Lord?" You know, that should be said the other way round. Does the Lord know you? Does the Lord know you? Afterward came also the other virgin saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not." What does he mean, "I know you not"? There's an eternal covenant ordered in all things and sure. And that eternal covenant was sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ to redeem his people. He stood as the surety of his people. He lived as the surety of his people here on earth, fulfilling, honouring and magnifying that holy, righteous law and bringing in everlasting righteousness for his people. He knew them because the Father had given them to him. That's how he knew them. He knew them in the bonds of that everlasting covenant. He knew them because their sins were laid upon him, and he suffered and bled and died for their sins. He knew them because he shed every drop of his precious blood on the cross of Calvary to redeem them. To redeem them. But these others, they said that they knew him. In another scripture, it says how that they shall say, "Lord, Lord, open to us." And he says, "I never knew you." But they said, "We've wrought miracles in thy name. We've cast out devils in thy name." What a warning these things are, my beloved friends, to us. "Lord, I've lived a life consecrated unto thee. I've given all my goods and the majority of my wealth. And I've wrought miracles and preached the gospel. Depart from me. I never knew you." What a solemn thought, isn't it? "I know you not. Watch, therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." What a deeply solemn... My late brother Timothy, he often said to me, "I find the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ to be the most searching part of Holy Scripture." And it is, friends. It's very searching. "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Effectively, what the Lord Jesus is teaching here is that if if we truly know the Lord, we shall have faith, repentance, with godly sorrow for sin, humility, love, submission, contrition. We shall bow under the sovereign Lord of heaven. And if my soul were sent to hell, thy righteous law approves it well. And we shall be so humbled under such a deep sense of our unworthiness, our wretchedness. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the thing which I say? Do we do the things? Now, we go a step further. It's through grace that we do the things that Jesus says. The grace of God ruling and reigning in our heart. And we read in the Epistle of Titus concerning the grace of God and the effect of the grace of God in the heart. And so we read in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us. See, the grace of God teaches us. The indwelling of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is called the teacher. He teaches us. He teaches us day by day. He teaches us from the Word of God, and he teaches us by his heavenly power and influence in our heart, leading us, guiding us, and directing us. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's what the grace of God teaches us. And this is another thing that the grace of God teaches us: looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. That's what the child of God is looking for, panting for, thirsting for. Just like David, he says in Psalm 42, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Where is thy God? Is that your language, your experience? Looking for that blessed hope. Oh, you say, I long to lay hold of Christ. There was a time when his love touched my heart. My heart was sweetly touched by his grace. And I felt a love to him. I felt drawn to him. I would that I could know more of that. And I would that I could enter more deeply into it, looking for. You see, the true child of God, they mourn in this wilderness because they're in a wilderness. They're in a wilderness. They cannot find anything to satisfy their soul in this wilderness. It's a waste, howling wilderness. This world, to the child of God, becomes a wilderness. And so they look, they're brought by the Spirit's inward teaching. Christ is made precious, and they look for the appearing of Jesus Christ. And they long to know, to feel, and to realize an interest in the Saviour's blood, my peace with God, sealed, looking for that blessed hope. You had a hope, raised up to a hope in the finished work of Christ, a hope in his precious blood, a hope in his glorious righteousness. It's a blessed hope. But there's a hope. If we have a hope in the glorious person of Jesus Christ, there's a hope in his second appearing. looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself. Now listen, this again are the marks of the grace of God in the life of the true child of God. Purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. As the love of Christ is shed abroad in their heart, it makes them generous and liberal to those that are in need, especially the Lord's people. Do good unto all men, especially unto the household of faith. These are fruits that are brought forth. The apostle, he says in one of his epistles, I think it's to the Philippians, he praises them for the fact that they gave to him and they sent to his necessities. He says, not that I desire a gift, but fruit on your part. It was a confirmation to him that these people were motivated by the grace of God and in love to the Lord Jesus Christ and in love to his servant, the dear apostle, they sent to relieve him in his many necessities. And that was a fruit that was to the glory of the grace of God. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. So he gives us an illustration of what this person who hears the sayings of Christ and does them. They live them out. It's the fruit of the divine work of the Spirit in the heart, of the love of Christ shed abroad in the soul. You think for a moment, these things are not just little things, they're deeply important things. You think of the sacred words of the Lord Jesus Christ concerning baptism. And he says, thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. It's a righteous thing. And it's following Christ. And you think of the Lord's Supper and sitting at the Lord's Supper and partaking of the bread and of the wine. And what Jesus has said, this do in remembrance of me. For as often as ye drink this cup and eat this bread, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. Think of the words of the dear apostle in the Corinthians. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. He's the eternal rock of ages. He said, upon this rock, who? Christ. Christ himself, upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. Has the Lord digged deep in your heart to show you the wretchedness of your nature, the filth of your heart, the corruption of your nature, so that you deeply deplore your wretched state and condition, and you long to lay hold of Christ, and you long to feel the power of his blood, and you long to be clothed in the everlasting righteousness of Christ, and you say, this is my only hope. I have no other hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. If these can fail, then I must fail, because in myself I've got nothing, but everything I stand in need of is in the glorious person of Jesus Christ. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently on that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. David, and he speaks this from experience, his experience in all the troubles and trials right from the beginning, right from when he was a young man looking after his father's sheep. He said, there came a bear and a lion, and I slew it when they attacked the flock. He slew it, the bear and the lion. And then he goes forth in faith against Goliath of Gath, that great giant of a man that had defied the armies of Israel for 40 days and 40 nights. And when he goes forth, he couldn't take the armor that Saul had given him. He had to cast it off. He said, I've proved these. He took his sling and 5 smooth stones from the brook. And he said, what did he say? I come to thee in the name of the Lord God of Israel. He went in faith. He needed one stone, and Goliath was slain. It's right in the beginning of his experience. How the Lord wonderfully blessed him with living faith. And he lived it out. And when he eventually, after great trial and perplexity, for some 13 years, he then became king in Jerusalem. The Lord brought him to that place that he'd promised him. He was anointed many, many years before, and then the Lord brought him there. And he subdued many enemies. They tried to subdue him, but they were not able to do so. He subdued many enemies. And so in the book of Psalms, and especially in Psalm 18, he says, thou art my rock. Capital R. Thou art my rock. And my fortress, my strong, and my high tower, and unto thee shall I continually resort. That was the witness of David, the man after God's own heart. He's a man which built his house upon a rock. He dig deep. It was on a foundation. It couldn't be beaten. He couldn't be beaten, whether outwardly in war, nor inwardly. It's true, he had a time when he was overcome. After he was king, overcome by a beautiful woman. Completely overcome. He had to suffer for that for the rest of his life. But his feet were still upon the rock. Just before he died, he said, I can't quote it exactly, but he hath made with me an everlasting covenant. He knew, he felt the stability of that covenant, of that rock of ages, not by works of righteousness that I have done, but according to his abundant mercy. I deserve the Lord's frown, but the Lord, he has given me his smile, his grace, his love. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Now we have this last verse, but he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. It was eternal. Oh, my dear beloved friends, may it please the Lord to sanctify these truths in our hearts. The apostle, by way of exhortation, in one of the epistles, he exhorts them to make their calling and their election sure. And we need to do that. We need fresh tokens from the Lord to make it sure, so that we know that we're upon the rock, the eternal rock of ages, our Lord Jesus Christ. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? May the Lord add his blessing. Let us now sing together hymn number 698. The tune is Rosso 687. Pause, my soul, and ask the question, art thou ready to meet God? Am I made a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood? Have I union to the church's living head? Hymn 698. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, both now and for evermore. Amen.